Hello, Howard.
What it do?
Oh, I don't know what that means. I'm white. I'm confused.
You gonna call the cops on me?
What it do? It hosts the mediocre podcast. That's what it do, Mr. Flood. I'm John Papagiorgio. It's Papa's Basement. We post the show at least once a week, sometimes twice a week if we're getting fancy, in papasbasement.com. And that's the show intro right there.
Short and sweet, man. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of what we're going to talk about, man.
Oh, my God. I'm just hoping it's a good show for the first time in a couple weeks. We also do Papa's Football Podcast. I think those have been doing pretty well lately, but God damn if Papa's Basement hasn't been suffering a little, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I firmly believe that. Last week I caught that AIDS off of our buddy Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
He's a teacher, so he's around kids, and they just give him the most virulent strains of everything. And it was, what, his first week back?
Of course. And it's only going to get better as the school year progresses into flu season.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well have tossed, like, Rock Hudson in his final weeks over into Liberia during this Ebola thing. That's about the odds Jerry stands when he first goes back to work. And, of course, we've been working these comic cons. God, I'm starting to sound like the hardest working man in showbiz here. Not only do I have my crap football podcast and this podcast, we've also got the Spookies, the comic we do at thespookiescomic.com. And we've been promoting it for 2 weeks now at an assortment at comic cons.
And this actually generated revenue for you, right?
I mean, if you take out the money that we spent to go to the comic con and then just say it started at zero, and we also take out the money that printing comics cost, then sure. We're in the black at that point.
That is how Lenny Dykstra did his accounting when he was a stockbroker.
Really?
Were you aware that, yeah, the former Philly second baseman decided that he was going to be this guru of stocks? And so he used to tell people, this is how much money I made. But he was only talking about the profitable stocks, and he completely ignored everything that had suffered him a loss. He would only talk about, yeah, so it's a fuzzy way of doing accounting to misrepresent your income.
It's not fuzzy, it's just lying. It's like sitting down at a slot machine and shoving in 50 bucks and you walk away with 25 and you're like, 25 profit, baby.
He may have been sentenced to prison for that one, yes.
I do remember, yeah, he fashioned himself as some sort of financial guru for a bit.
But we're just trying to make it less embarrassing for you as far as you technically did sell a few comic books, right?
We did. And we did sell some. Even if it's not a lot, I'm just happy. I'm no longer sick. I'm full of pumpkin spice latte, which should pump me up a little.
All right, good.
It's like 50 degrees in the studio, so it'll freeze this fat sweat to my forehead pretty quickly.
You're kind of sweaty right now. It's a
I've been
gross.
Very sweaty overall lately.
Such is the life of a Greek person.
Well, I feel like Artie Lang, right when he was really getting the smack sweats, like on Stern, right when it was getting really bad for Mr. Lang.
Okay. It looks kind of like you forgot to wash your hands after lunch and there's just like a dab of olive oil that you smeared on your forehead.
Nah, it's starting to get very Chris Farley-esque. I'm tracking my calories again. It needs to come down about 40, 50 pounds. And by it, I mean me. I'm just referring to myself like the livestock I am, this beast. But yeah, last week we did the Baltimore Comic Con, a very mainstream event.
Yeah.
If you will. I think San Diego's Comic Con, but uglier people.
There really weren't a lot of opportunities to see celebrities, which tend to be people who are, they're basically Hollywood folks who found a niche in sci-fi nerddom, even though they themselves don't seem so nerdy.
Yeah, there's a lot of actresses, especially, I think, that in the grand scheme of the actress world, they're like sevens or maybe even fives. I mean, to anyone on the normal street, they're eight or nine. But like, for example, Starbuck. She's one I really consider. Starbuck from the relaunched Battlestar Galactica. I forget her real name.
Right.
But she's abroad that, in the actress world, she ain't great. But she was Starbuck on Galactica. She'll be able to tour these cons until she's 70 and make a buck taking pictures and all that crap.
And people will talk about really awkward sexual things with her pretty often at these things, I feel. I'm not explicitly, but like the latent, like, oh my gosh, I fapped so much while watching the show to you. That sort of thing, I think, comes up often at these.
See, but that's not a boldness thing. That's like the borderline autism thing.
Right.
That is so prevalent in a lot of the comic book sci-fi world in general. Yeah, they won't try to be offensive, but it'll be like, I wrote this erotic fan fiction for you.
Oh, yeah.
Where the relationship between you and Captain Adama, which is typically characterized as patriarchal, he's your dad, you're the kid. Let's just say things get clarified in a much more sexual, contemporary partners kind of way. Yeah, and she's just left there scarred, like, God damn it.
Was this really worth the $40 to sign his crap?
Exactly. Baltimore Comic Con had what? Was it Peter Mayhew was his name? The guy who was in the Chewbacca costume? By the way,
That's it, though!
Joel Hodges from Mystery Science Theater 3000. Those were the only two names I recognized.
I'm actually kind of sad. Joel Hodges was in Baltimore?
Yeah, he was right next to Peter Mayhew. Peter Mayhew was just staring into the corner like an ass. It looked like 1920 at some Oklahoma fair where it's like, oh, we've still got Sitting Bull alive. And you can go meet him. And he's just sitting there broken, his entire tribe dead. Oh, man. And it's like, do your rain dance, red man. You know, that sort of thing. That's what it came off as. Mayhew was just staring off like, son of a bitch. And he had... not even one bit. Not even the Chewy bandolier.
Mm.
Like, work with me, dude.
Was there a line to see him?
I mean, not, but I walked by like 2 hours after it started, and it was just like, there's the bathroom next to Peter Mayhew. I have to take a leak next to the guy who played Chewbacca. Then I'm going to get a soft pretzel next to him as well. There wasn't a line. You just kind of walked past him, which made it even weirder.
Okay. Okay. But what about this small press expo then? What was the comparison with the Baltimore show?
All right, so the Baltimore show, people there for Batman, they're there for, you know, their Superman.
Cosplay
Wolverine,
as well, though. There was some good cosplay.
Tons of cosplay, and it was fun because even if it's like comic chicks, who, again, they're like the sci-fi actresses. In their world, they are the nines. Are they the sixes on the street or something? Yeah. But they're pulling their pasty asses into these garters, and I'm like, what the hell? Sure, 18th Silk Spectre I've seen today, I will also look at your black-pantied ass and garters. Why not? oops, did I drop some of my product? Please pick up, etc. Yeah, so there was a lot of just mainstream comic presence at this Baltimore Comic Con.
Yes.
The Small Press Expo a week later, if our comic, The Spookies, exists in the middle, where the porridge Goldilocks chose, shall we say, the comic that she chose to not read, on one end of the spectrum, you've got your Batman, your Superman. All the way on the other is the fare that you are finding for the most part at the Small Press Expo.
Okay.
Please notice that we fit into neither of these worlds well and sold well at neither of them. But yeah, it's like if you've got a dude with a cape and shorts over on the left, all the way on the right, it's like, here's my comic about my experiences as a transsexual transitioning lesbian Eskimo who owns a ferret. It was that kind of vibe at the Small Press Expo. And you'd look around and just be, more than once, I was just like, huh? And people might hear this and they're going to think I'm small-minded or hateful. No hate on my part. Just curiosity. Like, there's a dude walking around, for example, really tall, lanky guy. And then, like, both days he was there, he was just in a really tiny leather miniskirt with his dick visible through the front of the leather miniskirt. And I'm like, is he kind of being a chick? Is he gay? Is he just being, like, rebellious? I don't really know.
I'll tell you this much. At that moment, you should have known, like, I just can't compete with that.
Well, guy looked like he could eat everything he wanted and not gain a pound. So, yes, I was jealous of his games.
Oh, I just meant, like, as far as salesmanship would go.
Oh, he wasn't even selling.
Oh,
really? He was
really?
Just a dude there.
Okay.
This is kind of the clientele. There was also a really, really thin, pretty much built like this guy, but long ginger hair and a skirt and high heels. But then you saw the front and it was a guy. So that was also a fun surprise that I fell for not once, but twice. And let's see what else got my wiener very confused at the show. Lots of women with shaved heads for the most part. That's a nice look, ladies. A again, probably not trying to win me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm maybe not the most sensitive lad out there. I doubt you're gunning for me, but let's just say you don't have to worry. You're going to be safe. A lot of people, more than one girl had like a shaved head, except like almost the payets, those rabbi sideburns, and then a little Superman curl up front. Those were the three long hair bits, and then the rest was G.I. Jane. Indeed.
See, I love lesbians, and lesbians love me, so...
Whoa, no one said I didn't love lesbians. I'm a fan. They seem to like me. I certainly like them. Just saying, the hairdo's not my favorite.
Okay.
I don't care about their lifestyle, but...
You're not going to try to introduce a new character to the Spookies, just like the shaved head lesbian?
I mean, it's a thought, now that you put it out there. I hadn't really...
It's a good character, man. Come on.
Yeah, I... Good for you, Howard.
What?
You're not getting a writer's credit, but I'll take it. No, it was an experience, and the subject matter of a lot of the comics was weird. We had to we were really crammed into this little booth shilling the Spookies again, which Jerry, people come by and they're like, "What's your comic about?" And Jerry at first just launched into this massive spiel, like, "Well, my influences are this, that," and they'd walk on by. Like, "Jerry, you need a quick pitch. Three words. Dirty Monsters, Inc." And he's like, "Well, that's not what it's about, though." And I'm like, "Who gives a crap, Jerry? Get him in the door. Let them read, find out what it's about." As I explained to him, "Howard, if I tell you go to this place for the best Italian food you've ever had for lunch, and you walk in, and it turns out to be a Chinese restaurant, but it's the best Chinese you've ever had, how upset are you, really?"
Right.
I ain't.
There are noodles.
Exactly. I'm a slop pig. As long as I ate well, I wouldn't care. Same thing. Just get me in the door to read the stupid comic. If it's okay, it's okay. But the guy behind us was selling, I guess, something kind of inspired by Adventure Time. I don't really know. But I must have heard the pitch 90 times on the weekend. "This is about a little girl who beats up barbarians." Everyone walk up. "What's your comic about?" "This is about a little girl that beats up barbarians." I get it, dude. I get it. It's a nice little gender bender. The girls can root for it. He was also wearing a big yarn beard the whole time. So everyone would be like, "Oh, nice beard. How long did it take you to grow that?" And I must have heard, like, "It grew over the course of writing the entire comic 50 times. Like, his beard shtick and his pitch are now in the back of my
skull. And yet he never flinched once as he received the same annoying question over and over again, didn't he?
No, he just...
He acted like it was the first time he'd heard it.
Like, yeah, he was a human. You know? He was a human robot about it.
You kind of have to be, man.
Well, I'm not saying I flinched. We just... Okay. On top of everything else, an audience that probably isn't receptive to a bunch of dick jokes, you know, and other sophomoric gags, we were also, I swear to Christ, crammed into the crappiest corner in the place. Like, we weren't facing the floor at all. We were facing a wall as you exit. So just imagine it's shaped like a racetrack, a big horseshoe.
Right.
Or a football field. Imagine us being situated behind the goalpost 10 yards, and they're just walking people around the perimeter of the field. No one's really tarrying off to see this little piece of crap over here. So the location sucked. They oversold it. We had to both days get crafty to escape paying for another $15 for parking, on top of the several hundred we paid for a little half table. It was a crap experience in general, man. And no sexy cosplayers, by the way. None.
Well, you did mention that there was a few women in the crowd with shaved heads.
Shaved heads, and like one especially had shaved heads, but like just this black spandex that would have worked on a hooker, but like the hooker needed the drug problem to lose the weight this chick had. It was big back there. Not in a good way. I mean, if it came off, sure, what the hell. But yeah, just walking around, it wasn't fun to see.
You had plenty for the spank bank, I feel. I don't know.
At this one?
Yeah.
Nah, man. Next to us was like one chick who was selling a comic about a princess or some crap, and she had like dyed pink hair. And there's something very sexual about pink or purple hair to me. Just like, I have become this creature that only exists in like a sexual realm. I'm something out of an anime or a hentai or whatever. You know what I mean? Or gem. Something you want to stick your dick in. This isn't natural.
Is this a clean show?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to correct myself and just point out, like, so you were eye-banging her for, like, most of the weekend then?
Yeah, yeah, that one I was ogling. She was right behind me, and we weren't selling anything, so every so often I just look over my shoulder.
All right. Just make it sure. Just make it sure. I was just like, there's no way he went the whole weekend without being a complete pervert.
I mean, Spank Bank implies I'm going to get something done to her, and I probably never will, but she was something to look at to pass the time.
All right.
But, yeah, I don't think she won't pop up. I'll get home and be like, oh, it's, you know, Bang Bros. How you been, buddy? Yeah, it overall wasn't great. I met, was it Dr. Ivan, I believe, the guy who does comics for the Stern Show.
Okay.
He was there touring around. And it was pretty fun because Jerry was chuckling because he and I just had the same reaction to everything that was going on around us. Like, man, can you believe what these freaks look like? You know what I mean? We sounded very old together and very judgmental. I loved it. But yeah, he was a fun treat to meet. Didn't expect to see anyone from the radio world there.
I guess, yeah, talking about the specificity that much of the sellers as well as the buyers seem to want out of the comics. I guess it's easy to make fun of that, where there are these like specific subcultures or perceptions of the world that are being catered to at the Small Press Expo. I guess, don't you ever think, though, it is successful? Like, there is a way to make that sort of narrow view of the world become something that is, like, mainstream popular?
What, like the hardcore gender bending stuff?
I guess, I mean, that's the one you brought up, but I mentioned on the show before, a couple months ago I saw Hedwig and the Angry Inch with Neil Patrick Harris up on Broadway.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is absurd as far as, like, that just used to be an indie film, like a cult film that now has won multiple Tonys. It's kind of absurd that it went from being something that, how did this movie ever get made into, you know, the talk of New York? It's ridiculous. And yet here you have a really bizarre story about a...
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think most anything can sell if you put a professional polish on it and you want it to sell. In your heart, you're making something with the intent that this is going to have mainstream appeal. Even if it has the weirdest subject matter, I tell the story in a way that flows, that the average person is going to get this flow and the writing is going to work for the average person. You know what I mean? I think... What's going on at this place is it's not only weird content, it's not particularly well-made content.
I was going to go with the well-made part because I think anything that's well-made will sell.
Yeah, and you can just defend it under the aegis of, oh, it's indie. I don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to adhere to your standards. But no matter how weird something is or offbeat, I think as long as it's well-packaged, it can sell. It will find its niche.
Yeah, so if I, you know, just told you, hey, I have this story about a gay Zoroastrian singer. It's just like, that sounds way too... No, like, if that's all you're talking about. If you're the loser who's just like, this is a story where I just bring this up multiple times, that's not interesting, where it's like, hey, I'm Freddie Mercury. Yeah. I'm just going to sing songs about my life. Everybody loves that stuff. He's, like, clearly one of the best rock musicians, right? I think that's just, like, period.
You don't have to say right. I'll agree with that. You're not asking me anything controversial there.
But he's a strange person, you know?
He was. He would call his cats while on tour and have them put up to the phone. It's a man awesome. After my own heart.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's your favorite part, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty fun like that.
So, I don't know. There's just the difference of, like, I don't know if you flip through any of these comic books, and then it's just like, hey, I'm the gay Iranian... superhero that, like, casts spider webs, and they didn't really talk much about anything else other than, like, just, you can have some poorly written crap about lots of things, and supposedly we're not allowed to make fun of it because it's like, oh, you know, we have to respect them for being different. It's like, well, I don't respect them for making a crappy comic book. How
exactly.
about that?
Thank you. If you're going to be, like, a lesbian girl pop group, make good pop.
Yeah,
that's all I'm asking. Scissor the hell out of each other on stage. Sing into a dill. I don't care. Just make it catchy. Like Tattoo, for example. You know what I mean? God bless Tattoo. You know, two chicks tonguing each other on stage in schoolgirl outfits. Wait, that part would sell. Never mind. That was the worst example I could ever cite.
Pretty much.
But the music was great, too. God bless Tattoo.
If you say so.
Oh, I miss them. Oh, man. I miss the hell out of that. If you were ever into tattoo, by the way, about 5 years down the pike, they did a video where they get naked. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm completely with you. It really, I don't believe the subject matter. Okay. I'll give you an example of what was considered one of the biggest pressings there, like a hugely successful within this world type pressing, and mm-hmm. how it was weird, but how it succeeded. It's a comic, I believe, called Henry and Glenn Together Forever. And it's about a alternate reality, I guess, Henry Rollins and Glenn Danzig, who are like gay married. And it depicts them looking like them, but they're like a gay couple.
That's pretty funny, man.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Is it good? Did you look at it?
A dude who works with comics in the industry, and weirdly enough, like, went to elementary school with me, and we're in the same scout pack as kids.
Right.
Found me not only in Baltimore, but found me here, and he came with this thing. He's like, Henry and Glenn Together Forever. I'm like, is that Danzig being cradled by Henry Rollins?
Well, I'm so dumb.
Had my curiosity, sir. Now you have my interest.
Obviously, Danzig is the bottom. Like, why?
Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah, because Henry Rollins in real life just laughs about this. Glenn Danzig is so fiercely like homophobic, like just Jersey Guinea circa 1950. Like, he's pissed away God knows how much money trying to get an injunction against this.
Has he?
Oh, yeah, and failed. Okay. So then the foreword to the next one, which I think was called Together Forever or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Is like Glenn raging out about how people are portraying him as a gay and stuff like that. And then Henry comes and kisses and consoles him.
Now, oh, no. Wow.
Yeah, man. I mean, funny concept for me as a metalhead, but could it get more obscure? You're talking acts who really haven't had mainstream success since the early to mid 90s. You know, putting these two very macho figures into a gay relationship, but it seemed to be done pretty well. So,
and yet it's mainstream enough because of the two characters that are.
Oh, it's a genius concept. Yeah. I was immediately really, really pissed that I was working with make-believe monsters instead of pop culture figures that have any sort of resonance.
Right.
Because I immediately I'm like, my God, he has just built-in audience right there.
Yeah.
I'm still pissed about that, actually. Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, that was my experience, though. A lot of people walking by, not buying the comic. If there's one thing I can say about the indie artist types, it's that they're poor and they're broke and cheap. And that's really the reason why I dislike them. Not because of their weird haircuts or the weird crap that they put out, but they don't have money. They act like buying a $4 comic is the end of the world.
But how much did you at least promote the comic online, right? Because... spoiler alert, you guys do publish it once a week for free, right?
Yeah, it's on the website.
Yeah.
All that we're selling was like a compendium of the stuff we've put online so far.
But at least, like, are you getting new viewers? Are you increasing
viewership? Yeah, yeah, yeah. The online presence is doing better, but the average person at this thing didn't know what the hell we were doing online. And it was just, I can't tell you how many times people would walk by and they'd thumb through the comic for a bit. Some of them you get real laughs. Like, I mean, like, you know, the stuff... you don't hear from people listening to the show, but they really loved it. And then they put it down as $4. Again, let me remind you, $4 for this damn comic, which is just regular comic price. And it's not some piece of crap we ran off at Staples and binded with Elmer's. It looks like a real comic for the most part. And I can't tell you how many times we heard, well, you know, I'm going to come back tomorrow. Didn't bring my money today. Otherwise, I'd be going broke buying everything here. Everything on sale was like $3 to $5.
There was 50 tables, man. I kind of feel people on this. You're one of the stingiest people I know. I can't believe that you can't put yourself in the shoes of these folks and like really think about how much they can spend.
Yeah, if it's something I love, I spend a lot. I mean, like maybe you could cite me at a strip club where I try to keep it, you know, 100 or under.
This is the equivalent, man. Like, there's only so many girls that you can visit at the Small Press Expo.
There's such a transient joy to the strip club. If I could walk home with the strippers and then read them while I'm taking a crap, believe me, I'd buy every stripper in the house. For $4, it's a cost thing.
Well, I just promise you, like, with respect to your experience, just because not many people came up to tip you on the poll doesn't mean they weren't looking, okay? Like, I think you guys actually did okay at this thing.
All right.
And what you're describing to me, I think you probably got some new viewers for the website, so.
So I have to view it as a moral victory, like when the Browns lost last week.
Is that a test for Josh to see if he actually listens to your regular show?
No. No, I don't need my heart broken twice.
Oh, man.
The sales from this weekend already did it.
All right.
Oh, yeah, and actually we met a dude I've known from Twitter for like 5 years, Rick Snee. There, that's the Rick Snee listening test.
All right.
At Rick underscore Snee, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a trip. Because I looked at him, I'm like, I know you from Facebook photos, don't I? Even Rick didn't buy a comic. I gave him one.
He was just attending, or he was
He was attending, and then he saw that we were tweeting about it.
So, oh, interesting.
Yeah, that was cool. I don't know. I don't know much to add. It was a bad experience. We did not sell overall. I mean, we got our name out there.
Yeah.
But again, to the Small Press Expo people, guess who doesn't like paying $150 for one of the worst seats in the house for a half table? More than Baltimore Comic Con cost, a much bigger event. And then getting hoard for parking on top of that. That was a treat, by the way.
Bethesda.
I managed to use my Hebrew powers, honorary Hebrew powers, to escape both days from actually paying, but still didn't like having to do the wriggling for it.
Yeah, I gotta.
But this guy wasn't a fan. That's the guy.
I'm wondering if I should just call you out, like, as a general thing, like, one thing you're terrible at is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is another one of those moments where your disdain for this experience is kind of indicative of your general disdain for,
well,
like,
if I'm
any sort of marketing.
Several hundred dollars to make 20, that's not a hate for marketing. That's math. I mean, make an event, for God's sake, that manages to sell something. I don't think anyone had a kill in there.
Yeah, but that's the problem with marketing. The one thing that actually helps the big Hollywood studios to get any of their crappy movies out into the ether so that people can hopefully watch these horrible movies. And for the most part, a lot of them don't make money. But even to come close to breaking even, they spend millions upon millions to market horrible, horrible films. So the reality is, like, you do end up with most of these projects not making money. That's kind of what's nice about having the deep pockets of Hollywood behind you. That's not where you're at right now. And so you're still facing the same problem they have, though, which is, like, people really don't care. And so it's really hard to convince them otherwise.
I guess I'm learning that.
Yeah.
But, okay, on top of people not caring, the staff itself, like, I can bitch about where they shoved me. I can bitch about the hotel trying to whore you on top of the money they already got out of you. But the staff itself, very unknowledgeable. I can't tell you how many times it was like, hey, is there free Wi-Fi here? Is there a password to it? I don't know. Maybe.
So, never going.
Can we get parking validated? Maybe. Like, what the F are they paying you for, dude? To wear your dumb little badge that says staff? Is it to be hip? You know, is it cool to not know the answer to a goddamn thing?
They probably were just staffers that got one free day of attendance for one day of working. Basically.
It was maddening, man. Yeah. It was maddening. I am so happy that I cut out day two, got to watch Seattle eat balls to San Diego, just eat a plate of nachos and drink beer. Like, it made me want to be just stereotypical dude. Like, you know me, I enjoy just video games, petting a cat. Things of this nature. Not exactly the most masculine. I did 8 hours in this place. I tore out to the nearest sports bar I could find. Just double-fisted drinks. Ate red meat.
Stared at the waitress's tits.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice little Latin number. Nice short little Latin number. Bitchy attitude. Big tits. Still a fan. Huge, huge Amazonian black chick. That might have been my pick for the day. Mad Mardigan braids down to her ass. Very friendly. I liked her. Oh, yeah. That butched up my weekend. That evened the keel.
So you guys talked about going back to any of these things. Are you down for the future of Comic-Con and other events?
I'll take it on the chin for all of them for one more year. But okay. It was a worthless experience. I'm telling you now. Unless the emails pour in and people 2 weeks after the fact are like, I read your stuff. Because a lot of people were like, here's my even crappier comic than yours. Can we swap? Can we barter? I'm like, what is this? Am I trading beaver pelts for a hatchet head? Is this the 1840s in the Yukon? What? the poor.
I will say this. I don't think you know how to play the game. Maybe Jerry was more
He was much
to trade
more
people.
Receptive. Even he will tell you the game sucked.
Yeah, it's one of those things, though, where I think the people who are most likely to help you in that scenario are going to be the ones who also paid for a table and were not doing so well in the sales market. So I think when it comes to promoting, like looking for other artists to help, I mean, you guys need each other. So
yeah, it's just a bunch of broke people with no traction networking. God, it's like podcasting all over again.
Yeah.
Ugh, son of a bitch. I just want to talk football. I just want to get done with this and go to the football show. There's so much good football this weekend. I guess the Ray Rice story, though, was kind of the tip of the iceberg when it came to, like, interesting non-football on-field football stories. I said football a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that one's still ongoing. They have a couple appeals now ongoing for what's going to happen to his indefinite suspension and whether the Ravens were really allowed to just cut him the way they did.
Well, that story broke, what, Monday?
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, last Monday. And then Saturday night, as I'm driving home, or no, I think it was Friday night, as I'm driving home from a job, I'm reading Pro Football Talk again because I'm a safe driver. And then Adrian Peterson goes up on felony child abuse charges.
Which is absurd. I think, really, instead of talking NFL, it's just the I realize he might have hit his kid too hard, and that might be something that is worth prosecuting. And yet, like, there is a concern that when it comes to corporal punishment, we as a country are now going to imprison parents who use it.
Well, it's a little nuts. First of all, I don't really know what you expected out of Adrian Peterson. It reminds me of, who is it, like Uncle Phil? Or who was it they got from Duck Dynasty? Who's like really Christian guy. And then it's like, how do you feel about gay marriage?
What do you think he was going to say?
Exactly. Same thing. Adrian Peterson is Christian as F. Do you really think he was sparing the rod and spoiling the child? And of course, I love it that they're going on and on about, like, yes, there were, you know, I guess lash marks across the child's scrotum. Like what? Like he spread his legs and then used it like a speed bag? Nah, he took a switch or some crap. See, he even made the kid get a switch. This sounds like a beating circa 1915.
That's what I'm going to say. I went to college in Texas. One of my roommates told me stories about his grandfather sending his mom out into a field to grab. This is so G.
Yeah.
This white lady, she used to, when she was a little kid, have to grab a stick that had fallen underneath like a particular tree in their yard, and she would have to make her own switch so her dad could beat her ass. So she just had to sit there stripping off the leaves so that he could like take it and whack.
Not have any wind resistance on the bitch.
Yeah. No, it's a classic form of Texas corporal punishment.
Yeah, and he's from Texas, as I recall, right?
Yeah.
And so is Bob G3.
Wrong color, though.
Yes, this is true. He of the crappy ankle. But they're very, very Christian when they are Christian down there. We're not talking Austinians, whatever the hell they're called. Those freaks that were all over my Comic-Con, I'm guessing, this weekend. Yeah, man. So you're really shocked this guy managed to do a little damage to a kid?
What I'm hoping for, the United States being as much of a football crazy country as we are, we can actually have a broader discussion as the United States, American society, about corporal punishment. Where does it stand? Because what do you think of it? I mean, what is your position?
Dude, I had the hell whipped out of me as a kid. Like, no exaggeration. Nothing to the face. That was kind of the rule. Nothing to the face, nothing to the ball sack.
Did Adrian Peterson really get a hold of this kid's nutsack? Is that true,
I'm
or were you
guessing that, like,
I heard it was just marks on the ass. That's what I thought it was.
Marks on the scrote as well.
Ooh.
But the kid's probably, like, kicking and screaming, moving his legs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he sought the kid's scrote. He's half Adrian Peterson. He's probably got balls like my head at age six.
Did the kid have to go to the hospital? Was it that bad? How did this even?
I think the mom took him there.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's like Adrian loves to shoot a load in deep and probably like isn't raised, you know, is giving X amount of dollars to the kid's mom a month. And of course, because she's a do-nothing slut who just
wow.
got banged by Adrian Peterson and took his jisms, then, you know, she's like, hey, I can get even more money doing this. Which, joke's on you, honey. He's a running back. He's not an infinite meal ticket. He's got like two more years. You couldn't have brought this up when he's 31? When he's playing for the Jets?
I don't think this is a way to get money, man. That's like sending your meal ticket to grand jury indictment. That's not how it's done.
Maybe he pissed her off then. You know what? I'm not exactly going to accuse her
honestly,
of being
it's,
the most Machiavellian of opponents.
You take
here.
A kid to the ER and there's evidence of abuse, they do have to call the cops in most states. If they're just like, nah, I got to call the cops.
Okay. I look at abuse for a kid, John Bender showing his arm off, the little cigar mark. You know what I mean? You get hit by a switch. Look, we're moving past it as a country for the most part, but there's a lot of the country where it's still that flies, man. Would
yeah.
I, like, if I have kids, would I beat them? Probably not. But, like, I'm like Jigsaw from, you know, like, I want to come up with weird tortures for my kids. Like, if I actually just smack my kid, to me, that'll be like having failed messing with their heads on a deeper level.
Yeah. I think the fear that you could bring physical harm to them is what's important. It's not the actual, like, because once you hit them, well, that's over. Well, you can't hit him again at that point.
Exactly. All you can do is hit him harder.
Yeah. And that's probably what happened to Adrian Peterson. What I heard, though, is it was a response to the kid who got his ass whacked hitting his other sibling. So this was
exactly.
Like,
he's
yeah.
beaten. And, it, you know, to everyone's like, well, Adrian Peterson, how could he beat a little kid? Well, again, if this kid's half Adrian Peterson at yeah. age 6, he could probably dunk on me. You know what I mean? He can probably preacher curl 95 pounds. So I'm sure if he was beating a younger sibling, he was really beating the holy hell out of him. So yeah, maybe Adrian Peterson was just like, oh, let's see how you like it. Whack, whack, whack.
Yeah. He probably did whack too hard, though. I'm getting the sense like...
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just sick of people lumping this incident in with the Ray Rice incident. You know, throwing around his wife and beating her and all that crap. Because here's how I view what happened to AP. He probably didn't think he was doing anything wrong. Now that he's like, oh man, I really can't leave a mark on my kid. I don't see him as some enraged maniac that like beat the kid in the heat of the moment and this is going to happen again. I think he's going to be like, holy hell, I don't need this crap. I'm not even touching the little turds anymore.
I think he'll spank lighter. I don't think he's going to stop spanking his kids though.
Maybe. Maybe he'll just get like a professional spanker. You know what I mean? Someone who will calibrate the switch just right.
I'll say this about, like, I don't think Adrian Peterson needs a switch. He is an NFL running back. Just, like, bare hand, man. Come on.
He
like, in the future.
Superman just go on the kid's yeah. ass, blow on it, and probably leave a bruise like a softball.
But, I mean, like, there are people in this country who will call the cops if they see a kid getting spanked in public. That's where we are right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I'm actually a little worried about, like, how this is going to be responded to in the public because there really are people going to be like, I will never watch the NFL for... upholding his right to spank a kid.
No, F that, man. What he did, if it gets corrected and the kid's fine, you know, the kid can shoot a load when he's pubescent, that's all good. Like, Ray Rice and Greg Hardy, I think, is that the dude for the Panthers yeah. that was shoving a broad around? Like, those are dudes that got issues. And I think what gets to me about the punishment for the wife beaters and the girlfriend beaters, that's really kind of a... It's almost like being an alcoholic. You have to enter... a treatment program really for life.
Yeah.
I hate how it's like, oh, you completed your 8 hours.
Yeah, that is a joke.
This coping mechanism that you've built over the entirety of your 26 years yeah. on this earth,
yeah.
we fixed it in 8 hours. No, man, that's a lifelong battle where he's going to have to, A, learn what he did wrong, and then, B, get constant reminders every time he gets stressed and wants to lapse into what he did that
right.
it's not cool, these are the consequences, you got to fight it, man. That's something that's hard for someone who wants to change to do. You know these guys just got caught and they're like, F it, just do whatever it takes to get me back on that field, man.
That's how it feels, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole AP thing really got me pissed. Silence. Well, are we just having a staring contest now?
Yeah, I wanted to leave it at that, see what happened.
Oh.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah,
well,
that was it. That was my side of this little saga. Have you heard about, what's her name? Oh, I don't have it written down. It's over here. the Django Unchained actress Danielle Watts and what happened to her over the weekend.
I did hear the recording of her interaction with police. It was ludicrous.
See, I didn't hear the recording, so we're going to have to Gene Wilder and, oh, I'm forgetting the the really famous black comedian's name, Richard Pryor. There we go. We're going to have to hear no evil, see no evil our way through this, because I just remember the pictures of her getting arrested and like just going like, a kid who dropped his ice cream cone, just like mouth open, drool hanging out the corner with a white cop cuffing her.
It was total nonsense. It is a stressful moment. I don't know if you've ever been handcuffed, but yes, it's not a pleasant moment in one's life, especially if it's the first time.
I believe so. I think once.
You would remember. Get out of here.
No, I'm trying to remember the one time I got caught stealing magic cards from KB Toys, or no, K&K Toys. I'm trying to remember if
you were
bracelets
detained,
went on.
But...
Yeah, I think I was just detained. I do not think I was cuffed.
Okay.
And I've never been cuffed like in a fun sex way either.
You have to watch out for that, by the way, like, because if you lose the key, that's really embarrassing when you have to call the fire department.
Nah, just get some bolt cutters. Grow a dick. There, that's Papa's tip of the day to all you kinkies out there. Don't call the firefighters. Get a $20 pair of bolt cutters from Home Depot. Get you out in a pinch. So this chick, Danielle Watts, black broad, she got a white boyfriend. And the story was on the CBS lot out in sunny Los Angeles that she was... I think they just said, according to the mainstream story, she was just kissing the dude, something along those lines. Cops were called. She was detained because, again, the logic goes she was identified. They thought she was a prostitute. She had to be because she's a black chick with a white guy.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Well, if that's the case, yeah, it's horrible. You think I'm championing that? If that's the case, it's messed up. But, yeah, the incident was filmed by the guy. She's just sitting there in cuffs going like, Mah! And they eventually let her go. And then it hit social media that this is what happened to her. Now, this is all I'm going to put out there before I let you tell me what was said in the clip, because I didn't listen again. The cops apparently were responding to a complaint that there was like a public sex act going on between the two in a car with the doors open. Now, I don't know about you, but regardless of the color of the woman I'm with, if she's deep-throating me on a public lot and the doors are open and then the cops show up, I'm not expecting the warmest of welcomes.
Yeah, I get the sense that they were not received kindly at the moment they responded. And I don't know what the actual arrest was for, if it was based on the interaction upon approaching, but it does kind of concern me if only she were arrested and the other guy wasn't.
A little bit. That is weird. I guess she's the one doing the sucking in this scenario, but you're right. It is slightly odd that the cuffs only went on one of them.
Yeah, lewd sexual act takes two in public, so I do have a problem with only the female being arrested in that case.
Well, to use non-inflammatory language, I think they asked for her ID and she got uppity about it.
I thought it was more obstructionary reasons why she was initially arrested, because she was really, the things she was saying were nonsense. I'm trying to remember. It was just garbage about like, this is the land of the free and home of the brave. So why? This is the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Thank you for doing a flawless impression, by the way.
you can't do this. Yeah, it was nonsense. She was obviously very upset because, again, probably never been cuffed in her life. So I understand that this is when people just go off and like say nonsensical things, but this happens every day to ordinary people. I really don't give a crap that it happened to a celebrity out in LA when, yes, it could have possibly been based on race. It sounds like more than that, it was based on her immediately being hostile to the cops when they approached, when they were probably being called there for what you're describing as a public sex act. And, you know, if they were just making out, you got to talk to the guys. You can't treat them like crap.
Absolutely. Making out, that's perfectly within the laws of the land. But again, if I'm getting my dick sucked and then Officer Cool shows up, I'm not going to give him a mouthful of lip. What do I expect to happen? Really, what do you expect to happen? At what point do you say I did something to deserve this reaction from the cops? Like, are we able to like piss and moan and, you know, kick and scream And then the officer just can't react. Are they supposed to be like the guards at Buckingham Palace with those little retard fur hats? I mean, what do we really expect out of these dudes?
Right. I think part of the reason that I don't have a lot of sympathy for her is just when you listen to the tape.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the color of her skin and just silence after that.
She was just being kind of condescending towards the cop. It was almost one of those, like, I can't remember exactly how she phrased it, but the way that it's one of those things where she felt more important than the person who was arresting her, and so she had to point that out.
Yeah,
which is never a great
dickish
way to approach a cop. Yeah,
well, not just that.
Or anyone, really.
Yeah, exactly. You don't approach the help that way, much less a guy who can legally detain you and
right.
or shoot you if you get out of line enough. So yeah, I'm just sick of this whole like. Oh, who was it, Michael Brown? We had a couple weeks ago.
What's that?
The dude in Missouri.
Oh, you want to talk about that?
Well, I'm just
what
saying
about it?
People are viewing this as like a continuation of that. And I'm like, dude, please don't belittle a guy who's potentially unarmed and shot. And really, we still don't know what the hell went down there. But it's always this narrative of like the cops doing awful things. And don't get me wrong. I sound like some cop supporter here. They can eat mine. You know, it's not the loud black chick who was blowing a white guy who gives me the $300 ticket for doing 90 and a 55. You know what I mean? The cops can really get down on all fours and eat mine. But, yeah.
They're treating her like she's Rodney King. It's like, no, this is, you're blowing this way out of proportion because what LAPD did in that situation is like a massive atrocity. And yet, like, this is now probably being treated with the same sort of...
Exactly.
Probably more of a media frenzy in the immediate moments afterwards than Rodney King initially received after he got his ass whooped by the police. Because he wasn't famous. Just another black guy pulled over on the side of the street was the way that he probably was received the next day.
I'm also pissed that this girl's getting lumped into the famous category, by the way. I think she was, like, what? Coco in Django Unchained or something? I don't even remember who she was. Was she the house broad?
I haven't even seen that movie, man.
Ugh. Wait till it's on HBO.
All right.
Put it that way. I think she was like the hot house broad. Like, Leo had this one chick who was the house N-bomb.
All right.
Shall we say? And he dressed her up in little outfits and crap like that.
Right.
And, you know, she was just like, mm-hmm, and thought she was better than all the other slaves.
Right.
Apparently she still does, Howard. No, I'm trying to remember who the hell she was, though. And that's like her claim to fame. They're like, so far, she's just famous for this.
Well, now... Now she's got, like, a potential platform springboard to new roles.
That's the best
new
thing
media.
That could... Dude, if I could get this kind of exposure, two cops could take turns using my asshole like a coffee and digging in with their batons like it's a stir.
Yeah, I mean, the disproportionate attraction of media coverage to Hollywood. Like, this is a non-story to me. This happens every day to people. So,
yeah,
it sucks that
you
it does,
but... three atrocities if it would get me... I would let Ray Rice punch me out. Then I would let AP take a cane to my ball sack. And then finally, I'd let the popo arrest me for blowing a white guy. If I could get the pub that this has generated for these fine folks.
Just, yeah, I'm not going to defend LAPD. Like, it does sound like there are some issues with this. If she's the only one getting arrested, I don't think they really thought of the situation. They're probably figuring they're teaching her a lesson, which I'd like police to, you know, have a better way of dealing with people who are miscreants or just disrespectful. There's got to be a better way, I feel. So, yeah, it probably wasn't worth their time at the end of the day to go through the charade of putting her in cuffs just to teach her a lesson, because all it ended up happening is it got put on social media.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, again, it sounded like she was losing her damn mind at the time. And it's like, why can't people just be cool? Why do people have to escalate a situation to 10? You know what I mean? Why do they have to floor the pedal? And then when something bad happens because everyone's, you know, passions are inflamed, why do they not act like they were slightly responsible for that?
I actually saw this recently, just to bring it to, like, a level of normalcy where this just happens. This is just a security guard, but I went to Trader Joe's locally, where there's one in Alexandria that has a parking garage.
Uh-huh.
And in order to get in the parking garage, you got to get there by 9:30, something like that. They close at 10. They don't want people, like, driving in and then just hanging around past 10 because everybody wants to go home. You know, they don't get paid enough to really, like, stick around past then. So the security guard was like, hey, you can't come in to this white lady. And she just started to flip out on him, man, as I was leaving. It was, like, massively rude. And I'm like, he's just doing his job. like, you are flipping out, and then she just refused to move her car. So she basically blocked the entrance of the parking garage, not like the exit, so I was able to exit, but she was like, well, if you're not going to let me park in the garage, I'm just going to park here and go in. And so there was this massive back and forth. And to me, in my mind, I'm just like, this is a city. I know it's not a big city, but half a block from here, there is street parking. I don't know why you have to like get on this guy's case when he's doing his job. And yeah, the store is technically open. But even if he's just doing this because he's lazy and he doesn't really want to stick around much past 10 p.m., just go park on the street. Walk your bags back from the grocery store. Why has this got to be a fight?
I'm with you, man. I'm sorry. Unless it's a massive inconvenience to me, and unless you really are trying to rob me of my humanity, I don't care. Be easy going about it, man. If a cop walks up to me, look, I get it. Black people don't have the best interactions on average with cops, shall we say. But please, sister, do not turn you getting a little lip from a cop after you're potentially blowing a guy in public at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you know, into the Watts riots here. Come on. For God's sake, man. I think what also gets to me is how quickly the media tries to blow it up, because idiots like you and me will talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I've been on CNN for a half hour. Their site's showing that someone apparently really loves them, according to the analytics. Apparently, I can't get enough of this article. And the window's been open for 45 minutes because I have to talk about it. Because it's what people want to talk about. And it's on the tip of everyone's lips. But it's a non-story, man. And then a lot of people on the other side of things want to act like the media is just still so racist. Even though I feel on average, and trust me, I don't watch Fox. I think Fox is biased crap. But you can't say that CNN really isn't going out of its way to present one side of the story. You know what I mean? Like, especially, again, going back to what happened in Missouri a couple of weeks ago. It was Mike Brown, right? I don't remember the damn name, man. I can't keep track of anything. Mike Brown, I guess they showed a picture of him that looked slightly thuggish. And so, you know, a lot of black teens then started posting on social media, like, which photo would you use? And it was like them wearing street clothes versus them like in their Sunday finest. And it's like, you know what the answer to which photo I would use probably was? Whatever goddamn photo I had, dude, on tap. It's like, you're not showing him in all black, like the photo circa 91 of like Biggie next to Pac, where they're like holding goddamn machetes with bandanas over their heads, trying to look hard as a MF. For God's sake, it's just a photo where the dude looked, you know, isn't it racist to assume he's looking thug just because he's a black guy who isn't his graduation cap and gown? For God's sake, he's just, you know, wearing baggy crap or whatever the hell. And they're like, how dare they use that photo trying to paint the story? And it's like, CNN can't bend over backwards enough to try to appear not racist. And yet to so many people, they're like, look at this horrible racism on CNN's part.
At the end of the day, it always comes down to credibility of what the complaint really is. So you go back to Hurricane Katrina, and that's where most of this sensitivity comes from, where there was the two photos, I forget which, it might have been one paper, I think it was the same paper. Don't remember which one, but they showed people in New Orleans who are looting of like a darker skin tone, and then like white residents of the same city stealing from stores and it not being labeled as stealing, but surviving.
Yeah, not to sound racist, I'm going to go with the white looters being a little more organized about it. Maybe fewer TVs were in the mix. That's,
you know, it's
all
just,
I'm
saying. But to not, to refer to it as looting in one case and not looting as the other.
I am going for a dickish joke. Obviously, right. It's the same thing. You're stealing from a store.
So that's the legitimate origin of this fear. Now, does it apply to every situation that it's like, well, why has he got to look like that? Because I actually saw a graduation picture of the kid, and Michael Brown was trying to look kind of hard in his cap and gown, which it was honestly a funny picture. I'm actually very sad about what happened to him, and yet, like, I had a little bit of a chuckle when I saw his graduation photo, because it's like, wow, like, he really didn't like smiling in photos. Like, that was his thing senior year of high school. This is a horrible story, because I remember when I was senior year of high school, I just had weird things I liked. And for him, it appeared, like, not smiling, but trying to look hard, even wearing graduation gear.
That was me up through age 25 in photos. Put on your Metallica t-shirt, scowl. Ta-da.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're going to be hard-pressed to find any pictures of that kid smiling, from what I gathered. It's just going back to credibility, though, with this girl. Like, I don't know. Yeah, some of it does seem a little suspicious on the side of LAPD, but it just sounds like how cops normally treat people who, really, if they'd just been like, might be, I will try not to make out in this spot again. I'm going to move on now. They usually let you go. If you're like, oh, I have a right to be here. It is my, like,
yes,
constitutional right to do whatever I want, whenever I want.
Oh, God, is that the bullet train to pissing off a piglet?
Yeah,
the Constitution, bam, right there.
That's the moment where it's like, I understand the temptation for cops in that situation to throw on some cuffs. I will admit that. It's just like, I really just want to, like, humiliate this person a little bit.
Exactly. My coffee this morning tasted like crap. I've got a hemorrhoid now.
Oh, though. That's my favorite part of the video, man. I'm sorry, the audio. The part of the audio I heard is maybe part of this all just came down to, like, the two cops were on their way to get coffee when they stopped them.
No kidding.
Yeah, so she really did interfere with the morning coffee, I believe, or afternoon coffee.
That'll do it.
Don't mess with a cop's coffee break, man.
All right, Howard, we can wrap this thing up. They want to get a hold of us on Twitter. I am John Papa Giorgio, and it's at Papa's Basement. Howard, for you, it's at What the F in Heezy. They can look that up. They can tweet me the easy handle if they want to get a hold of you. Show again is Papa's Basement. InPapa'sBasement.com is the show's website. If you do the podcast subscription thing, and we encourage you to do so, InPapa'sBasement.com/iTunes to subscribe using, you guessed it, iTunes. Give us a nice rating there. And if you do Stitcher, which is more for the Droid users, InPapa'sBasement.com/Stitcher. Again, same rules for iTunes. Subscribe, give us a good rating. All that. Last but not least, we have pfpod.com, our football show. Recording that one coming up next. And if you're into comics, thespookiescomic.com. It's like Monsters, Inc., but dirty.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guests tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.